The following program is rated P for Pimp. Dante Nero is not a licensed therapist, counselor, or medical professional. He is, however, a former pimp, 7-time Male Exotic Dancer of the Year, comedian, writer, actor, fighter, emotional philanthropist, and revolutionary, who just happens to have some unique perspectives on male and female relationships and game. Be advised, this is the Beige Phillips Show.
It ain't nothing like black pussy on my dick. Word to the motherfucking DJ quick. I play O's like Domino slapping bones. AMG's on the motherfucking microphone. I sing dick, bitch, nothing more and nothing less. You gotta see no hope, you can take the test and bring big fat titties and lots of back. You got the woody.
Yo, what's up, baby? Beige Phillips Show. Back one more time. Bringing the gems, dropping gems, my boy, co-host, Harry Tarjanian.
Yeah.
Rocking it out. AMG in the back. Bitch better have my money.
Yeah, as a tribute to our guest, Mr. Jeffrey Gurian,
who's
one of his favorite songs, I believe, was a...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
his headline. Let me introduce him.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Gurian, bona fide pimp.
Certified, you're giving it to him.
Certified, certified. I'm not even questioning it.
Right.
My friend, good friend of Patrice O'Neill, one of the guys that was in the part of the original show, the Black Phillips Show. Rest in peace, pimp.
Absolutely. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, pimp.
R.I.P.P.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Gurian. Give it up for Jeffrey Gurian.
Woo! In the house.
Yeah.
In the house with my boys.
We had to bring you back for another hour.
Yeah, 1 hour wasn't enough.
I'm so happy. Yeah. Oh, we have a lot to say, man. Yeah. There's a lot to say
this
about
this. This is endless.
This
is infinity.
Infinity. Yeah. Dot, 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 baby.
Because it'll never be over. The battle will never be over.
And we have so much fun talking about it. The hour flew by.
Oh, it was like minutes.
Yeah,
it was like
exactly. Minutes, yeah. So it's so cool
to
be back.
Good to have you back, brother.
Thanks, man.
I want you to plug that book. Right up front, because... Yeah.
It's a really amazing... The people you have on that book, I mean, that's an insane list of who's who's, in all
honesty.
Thank
you. Well, you know, it took 4 years. It was 4 years of hard work. In the summer of 2008, mm-hmm. I was at the Montreal Just for Laughs Festival.
Right.
Which, as your listeners probably know, it's the biggest comedy festival in the world.
Yeah.
And I had just proposed to Richie Tinkin, who is the owner and the founder of the comic strip.
Yeah.
That we do this book. Right. You know, I said to him, man... This club has so much history to it. You know, I was there that day with Ann Curry and Gilbert Gottfried.
Right.
And we were coaching her on how to do stand-up comedy. And
okay.
I said to Richie, I actually have a picture of us that day that's going to be in the book. And I said, we should do a book on this club. And he's like, yeah, that sounds good.
Right.
And a lot of people had asked him, but he trusted me to do the book, which was an amazing thing for
me.
So I go up to Montreal. The first three people that I interview are Larry Miller, George Wallace... who were the guys that came out of the original set with Seinfeld. They started in like 1976, 77. You know, the club opened on June 1st of 1976.
Right.
June 17th of 76, 16 days later, Seinfeld came in to audition.
Right.
And all these people launched from there. Larry Miller, George Wallace. So I interviewed Larry and George and Paul Provenza,
right.
who was also an early...
All
strip
these
guy.
Beasts. If y'all don't know, not comedy, big comedy fans, these guys are monsters.
Some heavy hitters.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it just went on from there for the next 4 years. I got to interview everybody. I flew out to LA to interview Billy Crystal this summer, which was an amazing interview.
Cool.
And he was the first comic ever to set foot on stage. So the book is called Make 'em Laugh.
Right.
35 years of the comic strip, the greatest comedy club of all time. And I even have Rick Newman in here, which is a great thing. Rick Newman opened Catch a Rising Star in 1972.
Right.
And he was the inspiration for the comic strip.
Wow.
And I got to bring him together with Richie Tinkin. They, of course, they knew each other.
Right.
But it was a great moment
right.
because Richie Tinkin told Rick Newman that he was his idol and that he was his inspiration. And when he saw how busy Catch a Rising Star was, he decided that he was going to open a comedy club because he had been a bar owner in the Bronx before that.
Right.
He had no experience in comedy.
Right.
And in those days, comedy was just taking off.
Right.
As Billy Crystal said, it wasn't a resurgence, it was a surgence.
Right.
Because there was no re, because comedy hadn't been that big before.
Well,
you know, the Improv opened in 63.
Right.
And then Rick came along at the end of 72 and opened Catch. Okay. And then the comic strip was the redheaded stepchild, they used to call it.
It was the name of the book is one more time?
Make 'em Laugh.
Right.
35 years of the comic strip, the greatest comedy club of all time. It's already available for pre-order on Amazon.com. And it's stories from everybody, man. Chris Rock wrote the introduction to the funny introduction. Billy Crystal, Ray Romano, Seinfeld, Paul Reiser, Gilbert Gottfried, Susie Essman, Colin Quinn, Jim Gaffigan, Paul Provenza, Lisa Lampanelli, everybody in comedy that you'd want to know about. All the heavy hitters, the older kids, I call them, and the younger kids, the ones that are...
You know what's interesting when you were talking about the reunion of Richie Tankin and...
Rick Newman
is just... is almost as amazing as your... reunion with me right now.
Exactly.
On the beige. See
how exciting
that
is that?
See
I
how
like
I brought that around?
I like that. That's beautiful, right?
Jeffrey
because we really kicked it.
I was actually one of the original guests and to be co-hosts on the Black Phillips Show, Beige Phillips Show. I picked up the torch. And for the same reasons where you had the same experiences that people were emailing me and tracking me down, and we need this back. We need this message. Back and I snatched my boy Harry Tarjanian and my co-host and we're doing it now.
Yeah. It was amazing to me the impact that we made on guys. Yeah. I'm telling you, I still get people tracking me down, telling me I listened to the Black Phillips Show. It was great. You
and
guys
still
had a great message.
You didn't even
still
know
listening.
That the old shows are on YouTube and people are still listening. If you go on, there's a couple of them got 200,000 hits, 300,000 hits and whatnot. Harry actually came into it later. He knew about it and then he kind of explain.
Well, there was a chance meeting with me and Dante that sort of brought it. But we were working some terrible gig.
Yeah, it was a terrible gig for Mike DiStefani's brother, DiStefano's brother,
Joe.
Joe. We were doing a gig for Joe's block, which was the worst gig. It was like swallowing glass.
Oh my god! Yeah, I was supposed to do 15.
Was it an outdoor gig? What do you mean?
No.
His block?
It
were we on like
it was
a street fair?
Really nice.
It was
in a
fancy
really
Hilton
nice
or whatever.
Fancy hotel,
yeah,
like a Marriott
or
something
or a
Hilton, like the
one
Hilton.
Of those, like a ballroom.
But it was a lot of this. Oh, this guy here. Whoa!
Put on your tattoo. We're going out tonight.
That sort of thing.
Put on your dress tattoo.
And I was supposed to do 15. Dante was supposed to do I think 45.
Yeah.
I did. I want to say 6.
Yeah.
You did 10. And we
I'd
just
like, yeah,
got
10,
the
12,
fuck out of there because
the
they didn't.
And then you ran for your lives.
And then they loved us. They loved it.
We cursed at them and insulted them for being a terrible
Harry
audience.
Was trying to be nice, you know.
Here's the other thing. Like, it's my nice nature. Yeah. Like, I have the skills to be mean, but I don't like to
it's
do
not
that
natural
until
for you to
necessary.
Do it. Yeah, until
well, again, until it has
corner.
To be
yeah,
done. Yeah, I'm not going to unleash the A bomb. You know, I would like to resolve this peacefully.
I actually have a hairline trigger.
Yeah, yeah.
But how surprising! Who would ever think that? But it's funny because I know you in a different way. The way I knew Patrice, and I like that. Where stereotypes are very boring to me. When people are exactly the way they look, you have so many sides to you, Dante,
sure.
And so did Patrice. And when I read that article in New York Magazine recently, they only portrayed Patrice in one way, like the comic that everybody feared.
Right.
I love Patrice.
Not, I mean, he was my.
You were so close. He was your
brother.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
He would let you in.
And when he and I saw each other, we would both smile. As a matter of fact, at his funeral, when Vaughn really touched me, she thanked me for coming, and I said, "You know, I love Patrice." And she goes, "And he felt the same about you."
Right.
We had such an interesting bond. The two of us couldn't be more dissimilar. I used to say to him, "When we walk out together, you should be holding me like an infant. It would be so hysterical."
That's the beauty
you know?
Of comedy is that all the weird, like if I remember seeing that picture from Norton's book, Jim Norton's book, of him and Patrice O'Neill in robes getting ready to get massaged in like Rio or De Janeiro or whatever. And just the idea of, like, only in comedy could you have these weird combinations. Like, you wouldn't necessarily talk to each other. Like, Dante and I are
Chris
also
Rock said
opposite.
That once. He found himself in a car with Joy Behar and Emo Phillips. And he's like, where would I ever know people like that except driving to a gig to make $50?
Exactly.
But you what know? You said about not fitting stereotypes and having different sides, that's what's so amazing about being able to have game when you have it and pulling it off. Because one of the other things people forget or people worry about, like the self-image and how they look.
Right.
We all want to look great because it's easier to be confident when you look great, but you don't have to.
Not everybody gets that
gift. You don't.
Gift.
You don't. But you can do it. That's the nice thing to know is that you can do it without those skills.
Without
you just
all
have
those
to,
things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I had a friend in Las Vegas. I just got back from a trip to Vegas.
Right, right. You were telling me you went down there. How'd that go?
That it was an insane 4 days of just very fast. You know, I had to cram a lot. And also, I'm recently single, so it became a makeshift bachelor party very quickly, which I'm not usually that type, but, you know, sure, I'm like, in Vegas, you know, do we got to do a lot of drinking and firing guns and gambling?
They'll throw you out if you don't fuck a hooker.
Yeah, you have to. But my point is, we went to, he lives out there. He's like the local mayor of, like, you know, he's got the hookups at the strip.
He's the Dante Nero of Vegas.
West Coast. He's the West Coast family. Yeah. He goes in there. We don't pay the cover. We walk right through. We don't have to go through the metal detector, which is a nice feeling at a strip club.
Especially when you're carrying guns.
Yeah. But we were able to, I mean, he knew everybody, but we're not attractive guys necessarily. He was far less attractive than I am, you know? He's a bigger guy.
Classically. Right? Because, Jeff, it is.
That's what I mean. Classically. We're certainly.
We want to try and honor who we are.
Exactly.
So at the same time, being realistic about who we are.
Right.
But at the same time, understanding that nobody's perfect. Exactly. Everyone has things that they need to overcome.
Exactly. Finish.
But we were chatting up all these strippers. And obviously, we're chatting up all the strippers, and I'm not an idiot. I know why they're there. I'm not foolish. But after a while, you weed out the ones who just kind of come over to you. It's a weird psychology.
You're not one of those guys who says, she really likes me. Oh, no, I know the other guys she's just fucking with.
I'm not a fool. Exactly, yeah. But if you're able to, because he goes there and he's funny and genuinely interesting, after a while, you weed out the ones who just come over and want money. In fact, some of them get bored and come over and just hang out with you. Yeah. So we became the hangout section for anybody who had any... You had a little free time.
They wanted to come
You get bored too. You forget, even though they're walking around naked.
It's an eight-hour shift.
Yeah, it's their gig at the supermarket. Work. Yeah, it's still work.
Strippers are fascinating.
Yeah, it's a fascinating psychology. It really is.
I dated them for many years.
I mean, we were chatting up a couple, making them laugh, giggle, blah blah blah. So I figured, let me get a lap dance, and this girl gave me a lap dance.
They haven't been the same since.
It's astonishing. And I'm a cheap motherfucker. I don't have a lot of money. I'm not cheap, but it was worth every penny.
Really?
Because
she was talented.
She was talented, but she goes, you can touch everywhere, but, you know, my vagina. I don't know why I was trying to keep it clean.
My hoo-ha.
Right. But we got in there, and she was just having such a good time. That
she
did everything. Yes.
She actually liked
She did. Now, again, were we going to go out after? Obviously not. You know, it can happen.
But I'll tell you something interesting, though. In those days, years ago, I did some films for Playboy TV.
Right.
And I brought in some big comics. Belzer was in it. Gilbert Gottfried. Uh-huh. Pat Cooper was in it.
Right.
And in those days, actresses didn't work out the way they do today. We needed to work with strippers because they keep themselves in amazing shape.
Right.
And I had to audition girls from all the strip clubs.
Right.
And I got to meet everybody in that business. And it's a fascinating example of the power of women.
Right.
Ask any guy what they hate the most. They'll tell you they hate to be teased.
Right.
Strip clubs make men look like morons because they go in and they pay to be teased.
Right.
Most of them pay to be teased. Now, what I learned then was I never had girls dance for me because once you become a customer, they won't date you.
Exactly.
You become a customer in their eyes.
Right.
So when you just go and you hang out, I was lucky because I got to meet everybody there. I used to just go and chill, and I would be able to meet the girls as people.
Right.
They're fascinating.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of them, unfortunately, they don't create the balance in their lives. A lot of them don't because they work such crazy hours.
Well, you know, I mean, I did that. I stripped for 11 years.
That's part of your background.
What happens is the morality, your morality from being naked and being that your business is sex, your morality deteriorates. And it's such a gradual thing that you can't even, you don't even
it happens
realize
very
happening.
Yeah, it's happening, right. That's why so many of those girls turn to girls.
Yeah.
Because I started hating men from being in strip clubs.
When
I saw how men act in strip clubs,
I'm
like, I don't want to be part of that group.
Right.
And I understood where strippers lose their respect for men.
Right.
Men are so, they just go and they get drunk. I was with a guy one night who spent $21,000 And that's not a lot compared to what some men spend. But I had never seen it before.
Right.
He had girls lined up dancing for him and his friends all night.
Yeah.
And he was some rich Wall Street guy. And when we left, he said, come on, you want to come with me? First, he left alone.
Right.
Which made him look like a total moron.
And paid the bill
because he could have gotten... If you offered a girl 20 grand, he could have got any girl he wanted.
Exactly. He got any three.
Right, but instead, he chose to call some cheap hookers from the back of Screw magazines.
Yeah.
And I was there with him when he did that. I wouldn't even touch these girls.
Yeah,
when they finally showed up, they were so horrible.
Right.
But that's what happened to him that night. The abuse of power. He was so under ether from these girls.
Yeah.
That he spent 21 grand left alone.
Left alone.
And then wound up with some ugly skanks.
This chick started digging you, and this is where the disconnect is. If you're saying to me that this girl liked you, Harry,
right,
for you to say that she wasn't gonna go out with me is a disconnect.
I'm not saying she wouldn't. I'm just saying like the possibilities are that she might not have. It's a weird psychology where in the moment
it's so not.
It can happen because it has happened. I dated a stripper once.
It was there. It was that opportunity was there. It's just in your mind. You're cutting off the opportunity.
Maybe
listen.
You created a limitation for yourself.
If she likes you, and she genuinely likes you, because ultimately she can have any guy she wants.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So the fact that she thought enough of you to like you, and you get that sense, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the connection.
Plus, you weren't throwing hundreds of dollars at her because you said you didn't have it to throw.
No, I didn't.
You had like one or two dances, whatever
you
had.
She clearly wasn't trying to get your
fortune. No. And here's what I realized. Well, good luck. Yeah, that's a lot of effort for not a lot of fortune.
Right.
But comedian money. But there's this couple things. The psychological element is fascinating about this whole thing. But in addition to that, it is work for them, but you forget they do get turned on doing part of it. So when I did this thing where I dragged my like fingernails
down
up her thighs.
Right.
That's one of my things that I do just in private.
Right,
fucking went, that was the one that opened the door, and she went out of her fucking mind.
Right.
And it was worth it because it was essentially to me like an ultimate. It would have been the same thing if I had gone out, hooked up with a chick.
And you didn't. Exactly.
You know? And
but see, that's because you had already broken down that barrier, and she was already into you, looking at you as a human being as opposed to looking at you as a patient. As a patron.
As a customer.
I dated a call girl, right?
Right.
Who fell in love with me, right? And at the time, she also stripped on the... She stripped as well, but she was like a high-priced call girl.
Yeah.
And... when she fell in love with me, she says, "Listen, I only want you to fuck me in the ass from now on."
Wow.
And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I'm in a place where I go, I can't have any pussy anymore. Like,
is it because she didn't let anybody else do
that,
and she wanted you to feel special?
So in her mind, no matter how crazy.
In
now,
her
me,
mind,
I'm 20-something years old. I don't give a fuck. Just give me a hole to stick it in. But it was literally a situation where. To her,
see how
her,
I guessed
her,
that.
Her ass, of course, because
you
get
that
it.
Was the psychology.
Her ass was personal, and her vagina was where she
business,
made
yeah.
it was business, and ultimately that was her thing because it was personal because of the trust element that's involved in that, and
she wanted to make you feel special
exactly.
as a guy and not feel because you have to be very secure to be able to be with a stripper or anyone who works in the sex world and be comfortable with that. You got to be very secure with yourself.
Sure.
What's interesting, though, is that how many of these girls turn to girls eventually because they see the worst side of men on a constant basis.
Sure.
The other thing that I find interesting is that they take a stage name, okay? A lot of strippers take a stage name so that they can be someone else.
Exactly.
They don't have to feel like it's them doing what they're doing.
Right.
And that's
right.
how they hold on to their sanity.
Sure.
Right.
Which is interesting because you have to create a balance.
Which is the same thing that we talked about before is the whole drunk thing. I did it because I was drunk. It's an excuse to be something else.
I remember there was a New Year's party. A friend of my girl's at the time. She was like, "Oh yeah, I don't know what happened. I was so buzzed." And we're like, "You had a half a drink. You didn't.
Don't
act like,
you can't cop to that.
Someone must have put something in my drink.
You were there because you wanted to be
right.
there. That's one of the things that I say to women: don't even be with me if you don't want to. I don't want to seduce you.
Exactly.
I don't want to do that. But you know why too? It leaves guys feeling that they made somebody do something that they didn't really want to do.
Right. Terrible feeling.
To each other.
Exactly.
Well, to each other, they're cool. Hey, that's great. You scored this. You scored that. Right, you're with this chick.
I don't want that.
But the underlying message that you carry with you as a guy is that you made somebody do something that they didn't really want to do.
Right.
Which is damaging to both people. The girl has to make believe she didn't want to do it.
Right.
And the guy has to feel like he made her do it. He tricked her into doing it.
Which, which ultimately means he wasn't worth it in the first place.
Exactly. Right. That, yeah.
See how I guess that?
Well, because you're on the ball. So it's interesting. So it's important for people to both cop to being there. You know, in this play, in this article that I wrote for Penthouse, I'm like, as a society, we're obsessed with sex and we hate ourselves for it. People don't want to cop to it. They don't want to admit it. They say, well, sex sells. Advertising, sex sells.
Sure.
Every magazine is a hot girl with hardly any clothes on. Why, if sex sells, it's only if something sells, it's only because everybody wants it.
Right. Now, you know what's interesting is you were talking about the seeing the worst of men, and me, and I was a male stripper for 11 years, and I saw the worst of women. So a lot of times, men are dogs. I remember doing a gig for this young lady who was. She, I don't know if it was a young lady, but she was getting married the next day, and I was for the bachelorette party. So I do my show, and I'm in a bathroom, like a small bathroom, and she comes in the bathroom, and she starts fucking with me, and I end up fucking her in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
We get busted by her mother-in-law, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And her mother-in-law
is...
The groom's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother-in-law says, "You dirty bitch, you're in here fucking, and you didn't call me."
Wow.
And I ended up having a threesome with the mother-in-law and and the bride, and they invited me to the wedding the next day, and I was like, "No, I'm not coming to the
That's crazy, man. That is a great story.
Amazing thing about that, it's like you're this poor soul who's marrying this woman the next day, and I, the stripper, have fucked your mama and your bride to be.
Yeah. Oh man.
So when the guys will tell you about how fucked up women are, I've seen the worst of women.
Or when women will tell you how fucked up guys
are. Oh yeah, exactly.
That's what you're saying.
I drop a girl home, she blow me and fuck me in the parking lot, and then go, "Oh shit, my husband just came home, I gotta go
exactly.
get the kids."
Yeah, yeah.
And run upstairs and she's got ball juice, she's got my dick juice on her fucking face, and she's, "Oh hey, how you guys, were you good with the grandma? And then she's kissing these kids on her. And I'm like, "Oh my," like, I wonder how I maintained my own sanity in terms of the things that I saw in my life, in terms of the trust to still be able to trust.
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned is the act of somebody, the single act of somebody, is never the measure of their character.
Exactly. Right. Everybody, because all people are weak.
And put into
everybody's weak. Men and women have
put
weaknesses.
Put into certain situations with certain variables, people will act out of character in amazing ways that you would never think that they would act.
Right, especially sexually. And it has to do with how you grew up, what you thought about growing up. Uh-huh. When you first started becoming aware of sex,
right,
things that got you hot. Most of the time when guys see a girl on the street that they're attracted to, something reminds them of what they used to think about.
Exactly.
Like when you were a kid in school and you'd be trying to look up some chick's skirt. You know, it's like now... What do you see up there anyway? Even if she showed it to you, what good would it do you?
It's
like showing a starving man food, right?
I used to take my mother's compact mirrors and break the compact mirrors.
Put it on your shoe?
And I would put it on my shoe and lace it in the laces.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd slide my shoe underneath the
dress.
Because I went to Catholic school, and you look under the Catholic school dresses.
Under those little plaid skirts.
Little plaid skirts. And I love a little plaid skirt, a little short plaid skirt.
Exactly. To this day, when you see a little plaid skirt, you get a little twin.
My thing is, why haven't they figured out that that's not a sexy look?
That's not the thing to put little kids in.
In Japan, they know it's a sexy look.
God,
you ever see that Japanese
I think it's just the Catholic Church.
Everything's about schoolgirls.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church just vehemently refuses to admit they're wrong about anything.
But it's so interesting that that's where all these things start. That it's what you thought about growing up.
That's
when you can tap into somebody's fantasies, that's usually how you do it. by tapping into things that they thought about when they were first maturing.
But Harry, so how did the Vegas trip, how did it turn out?
How did that wind up?
We left. I asked her if she wanted to do some.
You spent the whole
after.
$16?
It was 30, sir. But here's the thing. I realized in hindsight, I didn't even haggle for it. She offered to me for 30, which was like a very small rate because she was that into me. Sometimes I've lucked my way into a lot of shit. I've worked my way into a lot of shit. We didn't end up hanging out after or whatever.
Did you ask or no?
I asked if she wanted to smoke some pot or whatever. I think she wanted to sell me some pot. Uh-huh. But I was just.
Well,
I was
they
really
don't usually get
her.
Off till 4 a.m. Right. That's the other thing. Yeah. And it's hard, man. You gotta wait around.
You've been walking around at 4 a.m. and she's tired.
Yeah.
That's after a long shift. That's a lot of laps and a lot of hard dicks.
Right.
And she's been grinding into dust till 4 a.m. It's work. When I would dance, we didn't do like stage shows. We did private shows. Well, we did that, but I mean, like when we did clubs, we do your act, and then you'd work the crowd for tips. Mm-hmm. But sometimes on some nights, I'd do 8 shows, and by the time I did my last show, my knees were swollen. My ankles were swollen. Because it was a little different. I would dive off of shit.
You're
climb.
Doing a lot of extreme. You put your heart and soul into that.
Yeah, I'd pick. If the crowd was not live, I would pick a 500-pound woman and throw her up. Which is why I don't have no disc. I have no cartilage in my spine
now. You gave it all. You left it out.
I mean, and I really was about. It really was for me.
When you were done, you were walking back to the locker room. This little kid with a Coke. You threw him your G-string.
I look like Ewing. Exactly. I look like Ewing on his last year. Ice packs on my back, my knees, sitting on the bench.
Is that why you finally gave it up?
Well, I always say this the reason why. Well, that and the business started going down the toilet. And then I always say that this is how you know when it's time to quit stripping. When you have to decide whether you wear your G-string over your stomach or under your stomach,
then it's time to quit.
You shouldn't have to answer that question ever.
Did you have all your body art in those days?
I had some, and some of it was progressively. I was just progressively more outrageous as I went on.
You wanted to leave with dignity. That's the way. You wanted to go out on top.
Yeah, and you know what? I know guys that actually had.
You came out there and you took the mic. You said today.
You know what? I know guys that had retirement parties, and guys would have a retirement party, and every girls would come, and all their fans would come, and they would have a retirement party, and then they would come back and they retire. Guys who had 2 and 3, because what
like
happened?
The Who?
They
keep coming back. They can't stay away.
The Who of strippers. What's interesting is that attention that you got from doing it was almost addictive to certain guys.
Oh, I could understand where it would be. And I think women get the same thing. That's why strippers find it so hard. If they only did that for a year or two and put away their money, they'd be set.
Yeah.
But some of them get stuck 7, 8, 10 years, because the money becomes like a drug because there's no place else they can make that much money.
And the attention, the power.
And the attention, the power that
they have.
Feeling that. I always think that it's every woman's dream to experience that. I really do. And a lot of women have agreed with me.
Because look at all the pole dancing
classes that are taken off.
People
exactly.
into the house where she gets
exactly.
an opportunity.
Every
to,
girl wants to be sexy and beautiful.
Sure,
every guy
sure.
wants to be
and
handsome
desired.
And powerful and desired.
Right, yeah.
It's human nature.
Dude, I
for
did
people
a,
to be that.
I did a show one time where I was actually standing on the on the stage, and I went out. I crushed the show. I killed. I was headliner. You know,
you weren't doing comedy at all in those days, right?
No. But that's how I actually got into comedy, because I used to book J.B. Smoove and Talent and Gerald Kelly and Bernie Mac and Chris Tucker, Capone, and all those dudes opened, and Will Sylvan too opened for my shows. I would have
in strip clubs.
Yeah, I would,
really.
Well, the black strip club circuit was like you would rent a huge. Place
yeah, it
out.
Wasn't a club that you'd get a hotel sometimes.
No, it was just you would have a huge, you would this huge banquet hall, and then
right,
you'd sell the tickets
saying.
And
yeah,
do your alcohol and stuff.
And
like
you'd
that.
Have comedians perform before you did your strip act.
That's how I met. That's how I Tracy Morgan and Mike Epps and all those guys. That's how I knew them
how
before
amazing.
I started doing.
That's a
and
great
that's
story.
What really what got me wanting to, because I ultimately started producing comedy shows. Like I had Def Jam Comes to Brooklyn. I took all those guys who were on Def Jam, I had them come down, and that's when I wanted to do comedy. But I was so big in the strip game that I was like, they'll never take me serious. They'll be like, shut up and take your clothes off. And so I never did it, so I didn't start until much later. But that's how it started. But I remember being on a stage. We had a runway stage, and I was handing out my cards, and I like killed the show. I used to do this thing where I would take this 500-pound woman, pick her up, toss her up in the air, lay her on the ground, and then I would climb in her pants. Right, I would like, you know, she would have the stretch, you know, this granny stretch pants. I would take these pants and put my feet in, lay on top of it, and then climb in and pull the pants over me.
That's hysterical.
Right? And I would hump her inside her pants, right? So my legs would be where her legs would be, two people.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's crazy. And so I'm handing out my cards, right? And I, at the time, it was...
Was this woman part of your act, or you just look for a heavy woman in the audience?
Pull them out of the crowd.
There's always a 500-pound woman
not
there,
only
right?
Not that, but they were so willing. Like, it's what's interesting...
These are black strip clubs, Jeffrey. Yeah.
Well,
you
black women,
it's, they have no... Insane. They have no. Yeah. But in any strip club, spandex, if you go to Down Under, and any, the women are insane in their sexual... They get an opportunity to release that sexual energy. It's,
they go fucking nuts.
It's like a tsunami. So I was handing out my cards, and I had on this, like, jeans with holes in it, and they started ripping my jeans, and they were like, stop, and I'm handing out the cards, and they pulling on my, and I fall on the stage, and they start grabbing me, and they're pinning me, they actually pin me to the stage.
Wow.
Now, I'm a big dude, right, so I'm not really worried. When I go to get up, I can't get up. Like, I physically, with my manly strength...
Right, you're overpowered by all these women.
That I am overpowered with so many women with their hands on me that I cannot...
The Lilliputians. It was like the Lilliputians.
Dude,
I
was gullible.
You're gullible.
I was gullible because I thought I could get up, and I actually had to call security to get me out of there because they started frenzying, ripping my clothes and shit.
That's crazy.
And it's like, you don't understand that sexual energy because it's so repressed. That when they get an opportunity, get an opportunity to release it. And you find that same thing that happens in a one-on-one situation.
Individual women, yeah.
It's because I was this object, because I was their object, they never thought that I would judge them. Like, how could I judge them? I'm a stripper.
Right, exactly.
So it was always like, pee on me. Could you shit on me? Could you smack me in the face? Choke me harder? Pull my, you know, it was tie me up. You got to get that candle. Drip the candle. Like, it was the craziest shit. And I was young, so I was like, yeah, I'm okay.
Because once they're in, they feel like they're in.
Well, their fantasies came out.
I'll punch you in the ribs, sure. Kick you in the ass, okay, whatever. And it was... Because,
but it's interesting that they would ask for demeaning type things.
Oh, absolutely.
To put them in their place.
Absolutely.
Because they're not used to being treated. Isn't that interesting that they wouldn't ask to treat them like a princess?
That is exactly my point.
Treat me badly.
My point is that they're so busy subjugating men that ultimately the grand order of things is that I'm supposed to be your woman. And you're supposed to be my king. And I should be subservient to you. The difference is the woman wants you to be... legitimately, who said this? Mara said this. We had a young lady comic, and she says, I want you to be...
I want to give up my control.
Want you to be credible enough that I can give my control. Show me that you're credible enough so that I can relinquish my control.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you got to say that again.
It's a very interesting point, and it's one of the reasons that a lot of women... find it hard to have an orgasm because they have to really trust you to let go of that control. It's the only time that they release their control over themselves.
Exactly.
And most of the time, they're not comfortable enough to do that. So they always stop themselves before they get to that.
And even when they are releasing, you'll find them,
they can't do it comfortably. Only a very secure woman.
Listen, I need you to take a deep breath, and I need you to sink into it. I need you to
just be with it.
Sink back into it. If it's quicksand, act like it's quicksand and just die in the quicksand. Yeah. That's what I need you to do.
Feel your body floating.
Don't fight it. If you fight it, the more you fight it, the worse it's going to be.
Yeah.
Because when it lets loose, you're not going to be able to control it anyway.
Exactly.
I've had a girl say, I feel like I'm going to pass out. Well, pass the fuck out.
Yeah, that's it.
There's a mattress under you.
I'll take care of you.
Don't worry.
I'll make sure you're okay. Don't worry about it.
We'll get you a nice little cold
drink. Give you a cold drink.
And when you wake up, your head will be propped up. Your feet will be fine.
Have another beautiful experience to add to those that you may
never
have.
But shut up and stop interrupting me.
Yeah.
Because I'm about to do some
work.
Shut the fuck
up. Don't interfere with my work here. I know what I'm doing.
I'm creating a masterpiece here, but stop. Would you stop Van Gogh? No. You let him paint. Just let me paint. Shut the fuck up and let me paint.
Because you're a work of art.
Exactly.
And I am in the process of taking you to higher
just
levels.
Just trying to enhance.
Exactly.
So we're doing, we upgrading bitches, Harry. We are upgrading bitches. That's what it's about.
Yeah, that's all it is.
And this is what's interesting about, I say this all the time, this is interesting about this show, is this, it, a lot of times it's, I seem misogynistic. I say this all the time, but I'm really not. I'm
not
trying
at all
to help you.
Neither was Patrice.
No.
Neither was Patrice. I think it comes from a place of love. What I wanted to talk about, if it's cool, was at the end of the last show, we were talking about how men try to take away other men's power.
Sure, sure.
And because I think that's a really important thing. Like, if you and I were to walk in someplace with a beautiful woman, you can count that some schmuck is going to come over
exactly
with some kind of a remark. Oh, your girl is so beautiful,
right,
you know? Or something like, always with a beautiful woman, as if you're supposed to think that they're complimenting you.
Right, right. But
when
it's not
that girl could be my wife. Exactly. She could be my girlfriend. How the fuck do you know who that is? Who are you to come over? I don't need you to tell me that the girl that I'm with is beautiful. I know she, all I have to do is look at her to
right
know that.
Exactly.
I don't need
and
you.
And that's why she's there. This
and that's
why
she's
I'm
there.
Giving her access
time,
to
my
in the
time,
first
exactly. Because I'm pleased by her appearance.
Patrice
so
used
I don't
to say
need
this all
you
the time.
To tell
your
me that
time is like their pussy. He used to say that all the time. Your
right
time
my
is like
time
that
is
he
valuable
said, he said. He used to say, one time a girl said to me, I don't have casual sex. And he said, well, I don't have casual conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Your time.
That's it.
My
time
is
my valuable.
Pussy. That's my
exactly
pussy. And if you are going to talk me to death, you are raping me. You need to
you're
be arrested
my time
with time rape.
Exactly. And put in some kind of a prison. Because it's like, you know. It, and so when these guys do that, first of all, it's jealousy,
right,
okay? Because a lot of guys will look at you with a girl and be like, why is she with him? She should be with me. But you don't have the ability to make that happen or
right
else you think you don't.
Right.
But why hold it against me?
Right.
Why make snide remarks behind somebody's back? It's men taking away other men's power.
Yeah.
And they do that all the time.
And it doesn't. And she's not good. And when you do that, she's not gonna run to you.
No.
All
it's
you
like,
are is the snitch. You the snitch.
And it makes you look so bad. Like when I meet a guy, if he's with a beautiful girl, I don't even pay attention to her. I say hello to the guy, and then if he introduces me, I say, "Hey, nice to meet you."
Right.
It would never occur to me
right
to comment on her appearance. I don't care if she's the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen.
Right.
I would never say, "You are so beautiful. You're a lucky man to be with her."
Right. Right.
Because that's such a low-life thing to do.
Right.
I'm complimenting this guy's girl in front of him.
Right.
There's
right
no respect there.
And there's an intent.
And there's an intent.
There's
an underlying motive.
Twisted
it,
knife.
Twisted,
into,
exactly.
That's exactly.
And it's
so
bullshit. It's total fucking bullshit, and I hate it.
Yeah.
So I want to put that out there to guys who are listening to this, that's not cool. That's not the kind of thing that you do.
Step
nobody
your
respects
up
that.
Here's what
step
you
your
do
game up.
Step your
get
game
your own
up
girl
get
and
your
compliment her all you want.
Exactly.
But don't be complimenting somebody else's
and don't
girl.
Don't do, we can't even say that. Don't do that because then you're just going. You're going. I say this all the time. I say yeah a girl falls in love with you for everything that you are. She spends the rest of the relationship trying to change you into everything that you're not. And when she succeeds, she will dump you for a guy who is what you were when she met you.
Exactly.
That's
so well put, man. That yeah is so well
let me
put
ask you this, Dante. That there's situations for those of us in relationships, right?
Sure.
The mortals, so to speak.
The mortals. Well, it's not mortals because you
well,
got to be
compared
a, you
to
have
you.
To,
I'm
you well, here's the thing:
you
got to be a bigger pimp to
oh
be
yeah
in a
yeah
relationship. You have to be a bigger pimp to be in a relationship and maintain the excitement and stuff, which is something I want
to
talk about. But go ahead.
But
finish
to
your question.
Stress this, you can shift the tides of that battle. Some
sure
people in those relationships, they lose a lot of battles. I know you're in the midst of trying to help your
my
nephew.
You're both my nephews,
both
actually
of them.
Yeah,
you can reverse that
sure
battle. Now,
sure
what is how?
Okay,
explain
now
to people
here's
how.
There's first thing. Beige, I don't know which Beige rule, Beige Philip rule this is, but it's you got to be ready to take the L. You got to be ready to lose. You got to be able to put it all on 16 black. Put all your ante up mm-hmm and go. Look, this is what I'm comfortable with. This is what I'm not comfortable with. And if you can't give me what I want, I'm done. I'm out. I'm ready to go.
And that's for girls who'll say to you, like, well, I just want to be friends. You're like, because when you take girls like that out who just want to be friends, when the bill comes,
right,
they're not reaching for their money.
No, we're not
they
friends.
Want, they want all of the perks
they want
of being the girlfriend
is right
without the intimacy.
Here it is, bitch. This is not a
who
salad,
does that?
This is not a salad bar.
Yeah,
you can't take the pineapple and the salmon, all the salmon and the ribs, and then you don't want to eat the vegetables. You don't want no salad. You can't just pick and choose what you want.
Who gets that? Think about it. How many times, like, we take it for granted that we take women out and show them an amazing time. When's the last time that guys experience? How often does that happen?
It doesn't happen.
Maybe once in a while if you're in a relationship.
And that's
because
it's your birthday.
And a girl,
it's
yeah,
your
exactly.
birthday.
Or some special event
exactly.
that a girl wants to show you some gratitude.
Right.
So she does that. I've had girls, it's like
a
big deal.
And then they let you know.
They let you know. Yeah, it's like a big deal if they give you a napkin. You know what I mean? Like, could you pass a napkin? Oh, what else do you want? You know what I mean? It's like there's no. Some girls just really take it for granted. They're so used to being treated well. And I love treating people well.
Right.
But I like it to come back
but
as
I
well.
But I would do that to anybody.
To anybody.
Don't think you're...
It's
you
courtesy.
Get over yourself.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
I actually have given a gift to somebody. And I can't take that. It's too expensive. Well, first of all, you don't know how expensive it is. But it just looks so rich and so expensive. And I go, bitch, do you understand I'm wearing $1,300 Gators? Trust me, I'm not going to put myself.
It's not my rent money. Right.
I'm not going to bankrupt myself.
I'm giving this
for you.
To you because I want you to have it.
Get over it. I'm not bankrupting myself for you. I want you to have this. This is fine. And trust me, get over yourself because you're not that bad that I need to spend my rent money and bankrupt myself.
Right, exactly.
Everything's
I'm not
still
trying to
get
buy
paid.
You.
Exactly, right. exactly.
I'm this giving is, this to you because I want you to have
and
it.
Check it out. And if you're my boy and you're with me and I'm eating porterhouse steak or filet mignon, so is my boy if
exactly,
I got it.
Right, exactly.
So get over yourself. I mean, earn it. And this is Beige Rule. Beige Phillip Rule 21, I think it's 21.
I love that you have all these rules.
21 is give a bitch options. You gotta have options. Here's what it is: a woman. We talked about the cheeseburger story. I've said it a couple times.
Tell me,
what happened was I had taken a young lady out taking her out, and we went to play and stuff, and I paid the gas and the car, $50 to park the car, and then we ate, and she was arguing with me while we were. She was arguing with me while we were burger. And she just kept arguing. And I took the cheeseburger back. And I go, listen, bitch, I'm not going to nourish you and give you strength so you can argue with me. If you want to argue with me, you can argue on an empty stomach.
I'm not going to give you gasoline to hit me with a car.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm not going to do what makes you think that everything I do is for naught and that you don't have to
exactly.
appreciate it.
Exactly. You don't have to appreciate it. You take it for granted.
You have to give options. You have to give options.
Oh, I've had girls where I'm out for an evening and we go someplace and they are on their phone and then they tell me they have to go afterwards when we're leaving and meet someone else.
Yeah.
Or they've even asked me to drop them off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you out of your mind? I said, do you know how disrespectful that is? I said, I don't ever want to speak to you again.
Uh-huh.
And they can't imagine why I would react that way.
Right.
I'm like, I would never in a million years make plans with a girl and make other plans for like 10:30 that
right,
night
right.
and say, but you just invited me to the show. I'm like, when I invite someone to spend an evening with me, it's the evening.
Exactly.
And
I don't
and
just invite
that.
You.
And they know that.
Yeah, and you
right.
know that. Exactly.
Right. You're not a child.
And you'd have to
right.
be a moron. Do I have to spell out, we're going to go to a show, then we're going to have drinks, then we're going to
no,
go see comedy?
No, that's just an excuse.
That's a cheap, like,
Beige Rule,
disrespectful
rule number 18
thing.
It is our fault. It's our fault. We have developed that type of...
But then you have to walk away.
Right, exactly.
You have to say, you don't take that and allow that. When someone shows me that side of themselves, that they're capable of doing that,
right.
I don't see any hope
right.
after that. I don't say, well, I'm going to change your way of thinking.
I'm like,
you know what? Later, babe.
You got to be ready to take the L.
That's it. I'm out.
And
yeah.
it's the
I'm
thing
out.
That a woman does that drives me nuts, which is when they all of a sudden decide to become an attorney. In the argument of, like, the semantics. Well, we only said we were going to a movie. Like, don't do that. You know, you're an adult.
Yeah,
you understand.
Yeah, I invited you out for an evening.
Right.
I didn't, you know, who are you going to meet? I don't even care who you're going to meet. The idea that you're making another plan while you're still with me.
You didn't say
when I said to you, are you free for the evening?
Exactly.
You didn't say, oh, I'm free till 10. You know, they're just like, oh, I had such a good time, but now I have to go someplace else. I'm like, really?
Because you're not that important.
Really? Yeah,
that's exactly what you're saying.
I had a good friend of mine,
he actually.
I fit you into my schedule.
Exactly.
I'm like, don't do me any favors,
good
man.
Good friend of mine, it was, he was like, we were talking about it. He had heard the show. And so he says to me, Bass Phillip. I said, I'm not Bass Phillip. This show is Bass Phillip. He goes, it was Bass Phillip. What? I asked this girl. He was going to a premiere, a movie premiere. And he asked this young lady, Brazilian chick, beautiful Brazilian chick, asked her to go to the premiere. And she says, Okay, I'm gonna bring a friend. She goes, she says, I have something to do at 9 o'clock. So I'll be, he says, well, let me check and see. Instead of giving her the answer, which I was like, bitch, I'll take somebody else.
Right, exactly.
But that's what he should have said. Right. No, it's okay. You do what you got to do. I wouldn't have said, bitch. I would have said, you do what you need to do. Go take care. I'll just, don't worry. I'll
couple
somebody
ways
else
to
do.
Break
I'll,
that.
Or let me know when you're free. We'll do something another night.
Exactly. Yeah. He says, but he put it off and he says, well, I got to, he was like, well, let me check and see if it, I got to make sure it's okay. And da, 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 da. Finally, he copped out and he said, listen, it's he had such a nasty gut feeling, which I think is Beige Phillip rule number 23 is, if you feel it in your gut, a bitch has kicked you in the nuts. You understand? That feeling is there for a reason.
Exactly.
You
follow that. Follow that.
You feel that because it's
real.
It's real. It's a real
tangible
thing to it. It's a tangible thing, and trust that. So he says to me, he says, what would you have done? I said, I would have told her, listen, I wouldn't have made an excuse why I couldn't take her. I would have told her, listen, you listen.
You're
fine.
Obviously busy.
You're obviously busy. I'll take somebody else. And then she go, what do you mean take somebody else?
Exactly. I asked you because you are my first choice.
Exactly.
But if you can't stay with me for the evening, you're just going to run off. I have to ask someone else.
Exactly.
It makes perfect sense.
And that's not
you shouldn't even have to say that. The girl should say to you, I would understand if you want to ask someone else because I'm not free for the whole evening.
Because but she wants to monopolize your time.
Right. And get the advantage of going to the premiere and going to the other thing as well.
You got to give her options. And the option, Patrice Neal always said, rest in peace, pimp. He always said, give him options. You got to give him options. And the option is to not go. That's the option.
That's it. Call me when you're free.
Exactly.
If you're that busy, call me when you're free. I say that a lot to people. If you're so busy, because I'm very busy, but I make time in my life to see people that I want to see, but my time is valuable. It's really, it's limited.
Exactly.
So I don't just hang out with people just to hang out with them.
Right.
If I'm with you, it's because I want to spend
time
with you.
I want to be there.
So don't make plans with me if you don't really want to spend time with me, because there's other people that I could be spending time with.
I was up a couple weeks ago. I was up at a comedy club. I was waiting to go up, and I had rode my bike up there, and I got a pretty hot bike.
Sure, yeah.
And this guy comes up and he says, man, I love your bike. Man, I love your bike. It's awesome. I'm always looking to upgrade. I'm like, oh, thanks. I appreciate it. But there's another one that I want. I'm talking to him. I said, why don't you get one? He goes, and I was, Harold, come on, Harold.
And you
he
know
goes,
why.
You know what he says?
That's why.
That's why I can't get the bike. And I go, let me ask you something. How old are you? He goes, 44. I go, do you pay the bills? He goes, yeah, I pay the bills. Your wife work? No, she doesn't work. I said, so I don't understand why. I get why you wouldn't spend your mortgage on a bike if you can't afford it. But if it's something you could afford, why? And it makes you happy, why wouldn't you do?
Because he didn't say, I can't afford it.
No, he said, that's why.
Right, that's
this
why.
Great. And now, so he goes to answer, and I grab him by the arm, and I said, don't answer. Don't answer. I said, do you understand that you're a 44-year-old man and she's yelling a block away for
like
you
you're
to come?
A child.
Like
yeah.
You're a dog.
Yeah.
I said, don't answer.
Not even the dignity of a child.
She kept going, how? But since he didn't come, I was holding my, and he went, I could feel him trying to pull away. And I said, don't answer. Don't answer.
Like Fight Club.
I go, we're going to change this today. Right? And so she when he doesn't answer now, she has to come. She walks
closer
in. She's still
closer,
screaming. Yeah. This is how obnoxious this woman. And this bitch looked like, she looked like
like a man
like
in a dress.
And her body looked like a bag of shoe boxes, right? With the corners.
Horrible. I know. I've seen
the garbage bag.
I think about
out.
That a lot.
Garbage,
yeah.
A black garbage bag with shoe boxes. And
lots
they didn't even,
of edges.
And they, a lot of, it didn't even break the shoe box. They just put them in holes.
Right.
It's corners.
And she's wielding power
and
over this
wielding
guy.
And she's wielding power. It's just awful. And she comes over and she's like, didn't you hear me calling me? I said, sweetheart, let me ask you something. Is he not a grown man? He's a grown man. And he's looking at me like, oh my God.
In fear.
I go, listen, relax. I got this. I go, does he love you? She goes, he better. I go, see, there's your problem. Love is a gift.
Right.
It's a gift. You can't own it. It's not yours.
You can't demand it.
And he can take it back anytime he wants.
And he has, by the way. Just because you say that he better doesn't mean he is. Women love would rather have the image, the technical victory, or give it to themselves.
The real essence of what real sharing and real intimacy is. And I was like, why would you yell at him? I said, you don't think that it's embarrassing for 44-year-old man to be his wife to be yelling at him down the street, calling him like he's a dog. But I wasn't. He didn't answer. I go, but why didn't you give him the respect of coming here? Like, this is your king. This is your man. Why wouldn't you want him to feel like he's
special,
kingly?
Well, yeah, exactly. Give him that respect.
Doesn't he make? I said, I don't even have to ask you. I know he makes you feel special, but he does it because he's afraid of you. I said, let me tell you a little story. I got my older sister. My older sister had a guy. She got this guy who was weak, very weak dude, right? And she got him weak because the guy who she really loved was a smoothie, and she got her feelings hurt. So she got a weak dude, right? And she spent the relationship castrating him on a deal. You should do this. You should do this. You ain't this. You ain't that.
Torturing him for what other people had done to her in the past.
Now, ultimately, he could have just folded, but he didn't fold. He ultimately went across town, and he got another woman. And he had another. Now, my nephew has a brother the same age, but they're not twins. You understand?
I get it.
That's ghetto twins, right? So he had a family. He had a duality of families, two separate families across town at the same time, the same exact time.
That's a lot of energy, man.
Is how much she took from him.
Yeah.
She had ultimately taken his masculinity to the point where he needed to express it at somebody. And don't get me wrong, I'm not condoning that. But what I'm saying is that there's a reasoning behind what his ultimate reaction was.
Psychologically, she forced him into that position to save himself.
And when he got caught, this is what he did. He didn't even ask for forgiveness. He just moved in. With the other chick. So, ladies, listen. If there's any ladies listening, listen. You can cut a dude's balls off, but he will get another bitch to reattach him. We got to wrap
there's
it up.
Well, there's nothing that makes you feel better, by the way, as heartbroken as you are, than finding another woman.
It works so well.
It's better than any pill it may
magic.
Not fix everything.
It's magic. Only thing that's better than that. Finding three.
Okay.
So
on that note,
we got to wrap it up. Jeffrey, love you.
Love you too,
man,
bro.
Thanks for coming down.
I'm so happy to be here.
The book, Make Me Laugh.
Make Him Laugh.
Make Him Laugh. 35 years of the comic strip. The greatest comedy club of all time. Get it on Amazon.com.
Website.
Check out my website, JeffreyGurian.com. JeffreyGurian.com. YouTube.com/Gurian News Network. 125 videos, celeb videos, everybody in comedy.
Comedy Matters.
Twitter, Comedy Matters. Yeah. At Jeffrey Gurian on Twitter.
Okay.
Facebook, Jeffrey Gurian.
Jeffrey Gurian.
The whole thing, man. Come and join me.
Harry?
You can get all my information at ihatecomedy.com. That's where you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. It's all there. A blog I just wrote about the Great American Comedy Festival.
Right.
Fantastic time.
Awesome.
And, all my stuff is up there.
You talk about your lap dance in that, too?
No, that was a different... That was Nebraska. It was really the tale of two cities.
Okay.
It was Norfolk, Nebraska, and then Las Vegas.
World traveler, bitches.
Yeah.
Get on
That's
board.
That's the beauty of getting to be a comedian. One day I was on a farm watching, you know...
Harry's single now, too. World traveler. Get on board, bitches.
Yeah.
It's going down.
Nice stuff happened in Vegas. I didn't get to tell all the stories, but I took advantage of...
And I'm Facebook and Twitter /Dante Nero. You can hit me there, DanteNero.com. My website is in construction, under construction.
Beige Phillip Twitter, too.
And Beige Phillip Twitter. Beige Phillip Facebook /Beige Phillip.
iTunes.
And please go on iTunes. You can subscribe. Tell your friends if this resonates with you in any shape or form. And you know what? I'm not even saying if. When it resonates.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Subscribe. Give us a review. You can also ask me questions at beigephillip@gmail.com. Hit me. We out of here, y'all. Thanks for coming out,
Beige
Jeff.
Philip
Thanks,
rules.
Harry. Always a pleasure.
Always great.
We out of here. Peace.